Revolutionary Gospel
Love
News.
Talk Radio.
How are you guys doing out there today? This is Arthur Joseph Smith coming to you guys live from Revolutionary Gospel News. I am the writer of The Revival of the Roman Empire, my first book, The Devil Workshop, my second book, Caliphate, Rise of the Islamic Nation in the Temple Mount, which is my third book out there. You get all three of those books on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Books a Million, or on the web. Okay. Well, today, you guys, I came to you guys talking about fighting for global domination. And it was an interesting thing because I realized how we've been taught the Bible. We've been taught the Bible in a way, and it's a certain conditioning that I never even thought of. And recently, the more I study the Word, I understand something that has been missed. And most people are not aware of, you know, when you begin to deal with the word church or ecclesia, where everybody gathered in these buildings, and it's supposed to be for the called out ones, those who have been called out to enter into God's coming kingdom, the kingdom that will usurp all other governments, will overcome every government there is in this world, and will be finally the final ruling power or the dominant power. Will be nobody else beside it, so we'll be the dominant power of this world. They will be the ones that are running this government system doing what Christ during his millennium. I was looking at it, and this kind of got me that I was looking at the scriptures, and I realized we go to church, and you have to redefine what church is, because I realize that people come together. But at the same time, I'm saying, where are you being taught the truth? Where have you been taught to look at this Bible correctly? Because we've been conditioned to look at the Bible with no color in mind. He wasn't dealing with no individual nature. He was just dealing with people, and nobody seemed to pay attention that the Bible has been written. You get to what is Genesis 10 and 11. 11 picks up on Abraham. It's Aram at that time. It picks up on Abraham. And from that point on, God deals directly with Israel. Israel is the whole theme of that Bible up into Acts 10. In 11, that's where you get Cornelius, the Italian, that comes in, and he comes in, and then the salvation is to all men. Now the door is open. God is giving a chance to all men to be saved. But before that, he was just basically dealing with Israel, and as you read the Bible from cover to cover, when you're reading it, you'll realize Israel has been fighting for its existence. If it wasn't fighting for its existence, it's fighting another nation. The existence was with Boaz and Ruth. You know, to keep the lineage going, and even goes a little far, to keep the lineage of Judah, the tribe of Judah, alive. And then, so you just look at it, and you constantly look at it, then there's this thing that they got, and I'm going to get into the Darwin theory, too, because the simple fact, I realized something about this Bible. When you reread the Bible, you realize that man has always been of a higher intellect. They never have been of an animal-like instinct. From the very beginning, so the way we have been taught to look at the Bible, we don't take into consideration that even when Israel is dealing, we're dealing specifically with Israel, but yet Israel has been dealing with nations and kingdoms. You know, they always have been a nation, or they're all building a city. So there's always been an intellectual, you know, a certain group or a certain type of government that has existed from the very beginning of man. So the way we've been taught to look at it, we don't take that into consideration. That's not taught to you for you to be critically look at this and realize there will be no basis for evolution or Darwin or the ape theory, caveman. How is that when you had government from the very beginning? When you get past Adam and Eve and they start having kids, these guys had the ability to make different things just like today. There was no caveman. Prove that. That's beyond it. But if you're looking at the Bible right, you realize Darwin and them is full of garbage. These people we're dealing out here with this evolution is full of garbage. People, you guys are welcome to call in also. The number for my caller number is going to be 773-897-6105. Once again, it's 773-897-6105. Let's look at this thing, because I realize the way we've been fed this Bible, we're not even, what they call church today is not the same church that Christ and them was dealing with. This is not the same thing although you may have certain principles, but they're not teaching you that you're preparing to be in the kingdom of God. And a lot of people miss it when they talk about the markers in the Bible, how they should become scoffers and markers in the last day. Say, where is the promise of the Father? Because they don't understand the two stages of the kingdom of God. The first kingdom of God came on the day of Pentecost. He told us, and what is, I'm not going to that scripture, but you can look at it. It's in Luke 17. When he said, yes, you're saying, and I'm paraphrasing somebody, lo here or lo there, he said, don't go, because why? Your kingdom of God should be in you. Okay, what happened on the day of Pentecost? They were all, and he said, it should come without observance in chapter 17. They were all in one accord in one place in Acts 2. And out of heaven there came a sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And they began to speak with other tongues, and they said with utterance, but other tongues, they spoke in man language, exalting Christ. You knew it wasn't some babbling tongue you see today. But that was the first part of the kingdom of God. Matthew 16, he asked Peter, who do you say? And he said, Peter said, thou art the Son of God, thou art Christ, the Son of God. He said, this is not man's revelation, but God has revealed that. God has made that clear to you. And he gave Peter the keys to the kingdom. The kingdom. People don't seem to catch that word. It's not catching the people bring the kingdom. Okay? That's what seemed not to be caught now. They seem to overpass that word kingdom. And then you find yourself being what is called a patriot. Well, you're not of this government system if you're really embracing the true belief. Though for those who are Christian or the Jew out there, you know, you're not embracing that. You're literally, it talks about the kingdom of heaven. I was looking at it. I don't want to say kingdom of God, but it is the kingdom of God, but kingdom of heaven. Heaven is more like a state where we know there's no more sorrow, there's no more pain, you know. But they seem not to be telling the people. They're not emphasizing the word kingdom, so you understand this is talking about a coming government system. They don't emphasize the word ecclesia. What is a church? The church is a called out ones. What have we been called out? We've been called out of this world to join into Christ's kingdom. Okay? First is the spiritual birth, like on the day I was talking about how he gave Peter the keys. That means he had the door, he had the ability and the power to open up heaven to every man. Okay, but he was at first, it was the Jews, okay, because that's who he was dealing with. It was what Peter tell them to repent, okay, that goes back to, he goes back to Luke 24 at the end of those verses, says, he said that the repentance and remission of sin should be preached in my name where? And beginning at Jerusalem, not Rome, people. Too many of us focusing on Rome. Too many are focusing on the Reform and the Protestant movement that has nothing to do with what happened at Jerusalem. Okay? Then in John 3:3, Gospel, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You mean can't see, can't understand it. Then he said, he said, except a man is born of water spirit, he cannot enter into. That's verse 5. And I'm trying to make sure I get this right for you. This is John, verse 5. So, and I'm kind of moving through it. If you have your pen, you can write those scriptures down and go back. It's going to take me a little while, and I'm trying to get better by not rushing through stuff to try to give you a little better clarification. So he tells you, John 3:5, except a man is born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He will not enter into that circuit, that new government system that God has called you out of this world, called you from under the power of Satan to enter into his kingdom. First is the spiritual birth, and then it is the physical kingdom that is coming, which we're waiting now. That's why I said, Marvin, they say they've been saying that since the Father began, because they don't understand the kingdom of God. They don't understand the first part of the kingdom came on the day of Pentecost. What were they doing after they got the Holy Ghost and they began to speak? Then they did what? for our nation, our kingdom that was coming. He says they were all baptized. They got baptized. He told Peter, stood up, because he had to keep, he said, to repent. Turn away from what you've been conditioned to believe, what you think is right. Okay, and turn to God and be baptized. How? As he told them, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in my name. So they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. For what? The remission of sins. For the applying of the blood, because it says in Revelations 1 and 5, he washed us from our sins in his own blood. So if I'm baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, that is the applying of the blood also. And not only it stops there, it says, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Okay? And Romans 8 tells you, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That's in Romans 8. So all the time we're going to church and we don't even realize we're supposed to be being conditioned to live in his kingdom, to live in the physical kingdom of Christ that is coming. If we die, we wake up, we will be ready. It's by the renewing of mind. You know, we're being re-educated because of the way we've been taught to live. This even like reading the Bible, how we've been conditioned to read the Bible. So we missed the whole thing in the Bible, first of all, because we don't acknowledge there's a group of people that God has been dealing with. It's just the Bible to everybody, but that's not true, because he's been dealing with Israel. And the true Israelites, if you begin to deal with that, then there's a whole other subject in itself, because it reveals that the true Israelites are living here in America, the black man and the black woman, which many people reject, even though Solomon tells you that I'm black in Ecclesiastes, in Songs of Solomon 1 and 5, he tells you what color he is. You find that Moses was at the well in Numbers 12, where Moriah and Aaron, which was his brother and sister, were complaining against him because he married an Ethiopian woman. But when you look on TV, who do you see? Charlton Heston, a white man, and seven white women at the well. And we all know Ethiopians are not white. Then you go to the point where Moriah was struck with leprosy, and she turned white. So how is she going to be white and turn white? See, there's a whole lot of problems in the way we've been conditioned to read this Bible. And I've been looking at this Darwin theory. I said it's impossible for Darwin theory to exist and for you to even remotely believe that if you believe the Bible. When you look at the Bible from the very beginning of time, there was nations and kingdoms. These people already had artwork, and they were doing stuff. Look at this. This is after Cain. This is chapter 4 of Genesis. This is the very beginning of man. Even Adam and Eve standing at the tree, the first creation, they were of an intellect. They had intelligence. So where do you get this monkey theory? The unintelligent man. And, you know, a lot of people use that as a racial thing, that supposedly black people look like monkeys. But I think, and I'm not going to get into it because it's really sad, because when you look at the monkey has thin lips and flat back, and that does not resemble a black man or a black woman. You know who that resembles, more of a Caucasian race of people who have thin lips and no butt. This the racism, this the idiocy of some of the things you hear, people with their short thinking. But let's go on and look at Genesis 4. It says, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelled in the land of Nod. Look at this. On the east of Eden, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he built a city. So, the caveman, where is this? Where is this theory? The caveman, Darwin and him come up with this evolutionary thinking, and he built a city. So, if he built a city, don't you think he's going to have some kind of city government? See, the way we have been made to look at the Bible. Okay, the way we've been taught to perceive the word of God has been incorrect. Here it is. He built a city. These are the first people going out across the world. Okay? It's before the world is truly populated, but where is this caveman? Okay, and I'm still talking about fighting for global domination, because that's what all the end story comes about. And looking at how the Bible's being taught, you know, that's what we're dealing with. When we start talking about the Antichrist and the false prophet, that is global domination. When we're talking about the kingdom of God coming, Once again, that is global domination. And so you find out Israel constantly fighting to survive. You know, that's their thing. They're constantly fighting to survive against these nations around them. And so moving forward, now let me finish reading this, because he said he went out and they called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. And Enoch was born, and it goes on and tells you all this, but I'm getting down to what is verse 22. And it says, Zealous, she also bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artifice in brass and iron. See what I'm saying? Man had intelligence. He was like a blacksmith. So when you listen to the Darwin theory, in order to even embrace that, and I understand how that teaching goes now and why, how they implant this poison, because when you realize they had cities, you automatically would dismiss this Darwin thing like, wait a minute. This is how it's flourished, because of the ignorance of understanding the scripture. Darwinism, how is that possible? They had these guys already working iron and all that stuff way before we come along. They're building cities way before we come along. So where would you find room for the caveman? You know, it must be in some laboratory because you can't find that nowhere else. And even after they did all that, and you find out God got to the point in Genesis 6, and it says they came to pass when man had begun to multiply on the face of the earth. He was overspreading the earth once again. And daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, talking about the angels, saw the daughter of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives, all they have chosen. So here we go. Once again, they took them wives. They didn't take no, the angels weren't coming down grabbing man with man, even though they have men out here with that vile affection and women with that vile affection. I like one preacher said that love has a standard. If you love somebody, you ain't going to let them do anything, especially stuff that is destructive to them. And so they always talk about God, but they don't understand that God has a standard. You just can't do anything. He tells you about these things. He tells you it's an abomination. He tells you it's a problem with that. And even in the beginning when he created us, what did he do? He said, the Lord, and this is Genesis 2, and 21, it said, the Lord God called a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, first surgery ever, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, not another man. And he made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. Okay, because she was taken out of man, out of the womb of man, okay, out of his side, which God had opened up. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. He said, okay, and then so it goes on. It said, and they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed. Now notice, where do you get this man and man from? The very creation. See, when you have the devil infiltrating everything, the devil influencing everything, then you can't see that scripture straight. He is never designed for us to be together so far as man and man and woman and woman. He's always made from the very beginning there was a man and a woman. That is marriage. All this other stuff, I don't know what you can call it, but it is not marriage. You don't need to be recognized by nobody because it's foolishness. It's a perverted mind. The Bible calls it in too many places a vile affection. If you don't call it a vile affection, he calls it an abomination. People say there's all everybody's sins, but that is the only sins you ever really see them. The Bible, whatever God ever, when he's in his word, and he ever calls it a vile affection. Not only does he call it a vile affection, he calls it an abomination. So that is a higher degree of sin. There's a higher degree of a mind that has been twisted. So we go on down through the Bible, and you're talking about evolution. And you say, where? Where can this be? Because from the very beginning, when man began to multiply during the time of Noah, and God decided that, what made God stop and say, hey, man, enough. It's 6 and 5, Genesis 6, verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man were great in the earth, like now. and that every imagination of the thoughts of his mind, of his heart, was only evil continually. He ain't thinking nothing right. Always some kind of mischief, something to steal or something to covet, to do something that is contrary to the word of God. That's how we live today, hating his brother for no reason. You know, they talk about the Klan and all that. They say, you know, people always worry about these people. But I say they already condemn people because he hates his brother without a cause. He has no reason not to like you, whether it be black or white. If you don't like somebody because of their color, you are in that sin. There is no reason. You hate a person without a cause. You don't know that person. That might be a good person. You don't know that. Because of his skin color, you stop and look at him and downrate him and try to downplay him. Like I was saying, like the little stuff I've seen, and Rod mentioned that because I've seen that on RT News. They was talking about monkeys, and when they had Google had it where monkey came up under black. And I thought that was very funny because I said, anybody know what a monkey or chimpanzee look like? They got thin lips. They have no back. That can't be describing no black person. And they're hairy. The way you see us at like that. So I found it funny. I found it ironic how stupid these people really are. I'm like, can you not understand it looks like you and not me? Okay, so where is the caveman? I like talking about coming from, you talking about something that's coming out of an unnatural creation. So if they were, if you evolved from monkeys, you're not really part of the human family. You can't be, because none of us evolved from monkeys. It's impossible for you to be a part of something. How are you going to be a part of this? If the human family and you come from a monkey, that means you're some hybrid. Okay, God saw the wickedness. So he went on, he said, he seen the imagination. So he said, repented God that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Okay? And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping things. And you go on and say, but he looked at a man become violent, wickedness, he destroyed them. But after the flood, and I'm not going to read all of this, but it's just trying to get people to look at the Bible the way it should be looked at. Stop letting them blind you at these churches, telling you color does not matter. It does, because he was dealing with one nation all the way up to Acts 10 and 11. He started from 11 all the way through. You see these people fighting for their existence, fighting the nations around them. You find out there could be no Darwin theory because from the very beginning they had cities, so they mean city government. Okay, and then you get down into chapter 10 and 11 where he begins to spread man. He talks about just the opening of 10. He's a Noah's son, and Japheth being what is the youngest, a Gentile, the oldest, I mean, according to the book. When you read in there, you find out he was the elder brother. It says, now that I'll show you in verse 21. So now these are the generations, the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Even though they wrote them like that, that is not the order of them. Their age groups, okay, and unto them were born, to them were sons born after the flood, and the sons of Japheth, Gomer, which is Germany, Magog, which I believe is be Russia, Medrin or Jibrin, one of those in Spain, I don't know, but you have to look those names up. And he goes on to say, he says, by these were, I'm jump down to verse 5, he said, by these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, and everyone after his tongue, after their families and their nations. Wow, wait a minute, people. Nations? What do you mean? Nations, people. They had government systems even then. So all this other stuff is a bunch of garbage. And he goes on in verse 21, it says, unto Shem, also the father of the children of Eber, which comes the word Hebrew, Eber, the brother of Japheth, the elder. So you see, if Japheth was an elder, they're not writing that in order. Okay, even to him were born children. So Japheth being the elder, he was the oldest. But it goes on to tell you, he said, and it goes in dealing with the Cush, the Hamites and stuff like that, he says, and the son of Ham was Cush, and it goes on, I'm jumping. Cush and Cush begot Nimrod, and he began to be mighty, the mighty one in the earth. And he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore is it said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter, before the Lord, the beginning of his kingdom, his domination, world domination in a sense, his kingdom was Baal, Erech, Arcadia, Canaan, in the land of Shinar. His kingdom. So we have never, ever been these primitive people that they try to put in our brains and we've been taught and conditioned to believe. You can't have a Darwin theory. How is that possible if these people have kingdoms? They have cities from the very beginning. So where would you find a caveman at? Even before the flood, they had cities. They were building places. They were making artifacts and different stuff like that. They knew how to work the brass and the metal. They knew how to extract that even then from these rocks. See, there's a delusion tart to the people. And anybody you want to call, I got about 5 more minutes here. If you have a comment you want to make or a statement, however, comment, statement, say anything. 773-897-6105. Once again, it's 773-897-6105. So this is what it's all about. In the end of the time, what it's come down to is global domination. You know, when we begin to deal with Christ, understanding why he was born. Look, this is what he says in chapter 17. Hopefully I can get through this. 17 of 1 Chronicles, because this is when he's telling of David. He's telling David of a seed, of his coming son, that which will come out of his lineage, that he would rule the world. Now look, here it is right here. It said, and it came to pass, when it shall come to pass, when thy days have expired, and thou must go to be with thy father. In other words, he's dead, that I will rise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom, his world dominance. Even the disciples asked him that in Acts 1. Lord, at this time will you restore the kingdom to us? Will you restore world dominance? People don't even understand that's what's really going on. When we come to church or the ecclesia, the called out ones, we're the nation. We're a kingdom. We're coming to learn how to have fellowship, encouraging one another to keep the faith, to keep the confidence of the word of God, to push forward, to change your way so you will be ready. You won't be trying to get ready, because he's not coming for those trying to get ready, but those who are ready, those who have fallen asleep in a ready state. So when he comes, you're ready for the kingdom of God. Okay, so he goes on to tell him he will establish his kingdom. He will establish his world dominion. He said, he shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever, and I will be his father, and he shall be my son. So where is this God thing? When you guys talk about the Trinity, where is the Trinity? And I will be his father, and he shall be my son. So God's going to be his own father and his own son. And I will not take my mercy away from him as I took it from him that was before thee. Okay? And I will settle him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forevermore. Now, this is prophetically speaking about the coming of Jesus. This was the problem. This was why, and when you get down into the stirring of Jesus, you know, what stirred up Jerusalem when he came during the time of Herod, because it was a king that was coming as king to rule the world. But they were wondering, when he died, was he going to do that? No, because it's all of us had to come in. There's still some generations to go, you know. And then for the Israelites, we had to live out a curse. We're about 360 years into it. He said he will visit the iniquity of the father upon the children, and that's been us. We've been in America for that reason. But I'm going to leave out here, because I'm going to try to pick up exactly where I'm at, where Christ, the establishment of Christ's kingdom, what is it all about? This stuff we see nowadays, what does that have to do with the message of Christ? What Christ was telling about his forthcoming kingdom. He was telling about reconciling us with God, okay? And so we're going to pick back up probably where Herod, when Jesus came, how Herod in the city, the people of that city was troubled because of Jesus, because there was a king that was coming. This king has come to rule the world. But it wasn't at that exact time. That was the misunderstanding of all of it. Even though people would talk about where's the coming of the Father, they don't understand the kingdom has come in two parts. Us, the church, the called out one, we're part of that. Okay, people, I'm stopping that right now, because they're telling me, it's counting me down. You guys, you want to read some good books based off of Daniel Vision, The Revival of the Roman Empire. That's Daniel Vision. The Devil Workshop, that's talking about the church and the Trinity and how that does not fit. And then there's the Caliphate, The Rise of the Islamic Nation, and the Temple Mount. And that's telling you about where we're at right now and how the Islamic State is going to be established and how the devil or the Antichrist will rule from the Temple Mount. Once again, this is Arthur Joseph Smith. Go out and get my book at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Books a Million. And this is Revolutionary Gospel News. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow at the same time, 12:30 Eastern Time, 10:30 Pacific Time, 1:30 Eastern Time. All right, you guys have a great evening. This is Revolutionary Gospel News.